Hey, welcome to the 4 Hour Outdoorsman. I'll tell you what, Brandon, the man behind the glass, the engineer we have, Mark, he's got it going on.
No, he is the man.
Hey, Brandon, Mark just complimented you off the air, telling us what a great job you're doing. But you did not mention, I heard all those radio stations and things we're on right now, all those call letters, you didn't mention anything about the Big Q Radio, right? That's where we are right now.
Well, we're on the Big Q Radio.
That's right,
Big Q. Because the Minnesota Lynx are playing. So you can stream us on Big Q Radio or BigQRadio.com or 95.9 or a couple other stations. But we will be playing on Bob this Saturday at 6 a.m. But there is a new announcement. Can I get a little drum roll,
Stu? Absolutely, drum roll.
So we usually don't take call-ins just because we love to get feedback through social
media. We don't know anything.
And our shout outs, right? And we always have a great list of guests tonight, second to none. But you can text us at 763-450-0100, or like we like to say in Radioland, 0100, 763-450-0100, and we'll try to answer your questions on air. So not only can you reach producer Mark through our social media, but you can get to him to a text.
And if somebody wants to know what tickles Stru's fancy, they can just dial. They can text
763-450-0100 or get your Google search history, and we'd be in
Stru,
a lot of trouble.
Just text that during the show and see if it works.
Yeah, I will. I'll do that for you.
I told Brandon to interrupt us if he has a good one. So
cool.
If you say something stupid, it's not coming through.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Welcome to the 4 Outdoorsmen. Stru Man, Mark, Lukey, Boomer here. There's three of the 4 Outdoorsmen. Brandon behind the glass is our fourth. How you guys been, man? Boy, I had a hell of a busy week. You guys, Boomer, I tell you what, I got to tell you this because Boomer's not going to tell you this. He's been so busy scrambling. Without Boomer, let's face it, Mark, we're nothing, right?
No.
We would be a Laurel and Hardy. We wouldn't be anything but Laurel and Hardy. But Boomer's been scrambling the last 3 weeks with iCast and Devil's Lake, the walleye tournament, and going someplace with Nicole, some fishing tournament. He's been busy, 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 busy. And all of a sudden he calls me or texts me. He called me yesterday. And you said you slept 10 hours in a row.
Lad. It was absolutely amazing. And for those folks that know me, for me to sleep that long. And, you know, it's been a great run for the last 3 weeks between Mille Lacs, Devil's Lake,
you
Nicole's
take care
tournament,
of yourself,
lacrosse, the Alumacraft dealer meeting. A lot of excitement with that. I know I got to call in for that. Really exciting. I know the BRP team who owns Evinrude. They were there and talked about the acquisition of Alumacraft and all the innovation that's coming to the table. 500, 700 attendees, dealers from all over the world, not just in the United States, but I'm talking Netherlands, Sweden. It was a great pep rally. We did demo rides on the water and some of those new 2019 Alumacrafts that are coming out. Oh, I love the color options. They got that classic tan leather interior look on the inside. Mm-hmm. The vinyl, they changed some things up with the vinyl. It has a little more texture, a little more earthy color to it. It was super, super exciting. I saw a really cool bay boat, and I'm not a bay boat guy. Those are mostly intercoastal waters, kind of a mod V, but it's got a lookout tower on it. Stru, they had a concept boat that's now in production. It was a Carolina Blue. I think it's called the Coastal 205. Really more for the coast, right? Intercoastal waters. That was absolutely beautiful. Got to hang out with some of the YouTube stars or friends of our shows. Aaron Weave from Uncut Angling. Of course, my beautiful wife. Gene Jensen, Fluke Master. Learned a little bit about bass fishing from him. Mike Larson, a friend of the show. What do you got, buddy?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to not break my train of thought. Why are all coastal boats, why do they have a console in the center? And why don't other freshwater boats do that? Do you know about that? Or
yeah, you know, a lot of it is because, you know, some of that coastal fishing can be sight fishing as well.
Okay.
Right? And they're looking, so for an example of snook or popping or different bait fish or forage base where they're going to be fishing. So that center console allows them to kind of stand up and gives them a better point of view. And they're probably in the intercoastal. They're not going to have the type of terrain of waters we're in, right? Like when I'm in Mille Lacs in that Alumacraft Competitor 205, we know, like any big lake or devils, when the wind picks up, you could be in 3 to 6 foot swells before you blink an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you're sat down more with that console and windshields. Now, tillers are still a big thing. I think tillers are still 30 to 40%. Well, probably 30% of boats that are sold there. But that's more why those bay boats like that have that center console.
Well, I believe the answer, man. I tell you, you could have made that up. You could have been on To Tell the Truth, and I would have voted for you.
Well, cool. I think it'd be cool to have one of those on Minnesota Lakes.
Oh, man, I tell you what, that Carolina Blue Coastal 205 from Alumacraft was absolutely beautiful. In fact, one of the dealers who acquired the first one, which I believe was a concept boat, he bought it on the spot. I don't think it was for sale, but he wanted it because they have a big boat show going down in North Carolina, mm-hmm. and it was kind of that Tar Heel color,
yeah.
and he wanted to make sure that was right in the front of his booth.
That's going to fly off the shelves down there.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what. So, great timing. Super pumped about getting back out on the Alumacraft. We're going to be out at Izades Resort. We're going to be in a 4 outdoorsman trip. Wild Card's going to be there. Producer Mark, your yep. son Mike. I've done some fishing adventures with him.
Yeah, we're going to have two Alumacrafts going to be with us that week.
Two competitor 205s.
It's going
to
be
other.
Great. I can't wait to see Mike's boat. I mean, and that's not a cheap boat either.
I told you, man.
That is the deluxe Cadillac.
The kid owes me money, okay? Quit saying that.
Oh, I forgot about that Wild Card. But I tell you what, Producer Mark. So you know how our listeners out there, welcome to the 4 Outdoorsmen, to the land of 10,000 lakes. We're on the big Q right now. We'll be playing on Bob Country this Saturday morning if you're hearing us on that Saturday morning. Podcast is always available. You yep. can go to the 4outdoorsmen.com or go to our Facebook page. Now, Mark, with that being said,
yes.
we know that's Strew. I love him to death. But when it comes to like technology, he's not...
He's terrible.
Let's be honest, right?
He's the only guy that will scan a document and then text it to you.
I remember when he would
and it's always sideways and it's always cut off.
And 5 years ago,
I'm pretty good
I
at taking pictures of
our
the Facebook.
Podcast would be playing, and Strew would be so proud of it 5 years ago that he would record the podcast with his phone instead of sharing it on Facebook and then post it. But with that being said, good friend of ours, Tony Roach, wonderful human being, knows Mille Lacs like the back of his hand. I see a message on Tony Roach's feed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Strew, man, going, hey, Strew, or hey, Tony, it's Strew here. I'm going up to Mille Lacs with my son. Don't trust Boomer. I need a 4-pound Smalley and a 25-inch walleye.
That's what I want.
Don't tell Boomer I did this.
I need a tip. I need a tip.
So, Strew, don't worry. I called Izades. They have a beautiful marina up there. I have a kayak.
Oh, that'll be
so
perfect.
So you can
yeah.
fish out of the kayak.
A kayak and a cane pole.
I think who I should hit up is my friend Bill Shirk at Minnesota Bound because he had the best weigh-in at the boat at the Mille Lacs
Billy
tournament.
Boy, I want a 4-pound small.
Well, I tell you what, Fluke Master was just up there, and that guy knows how to fish as well, right? And he caught some nice fish, but you can tell that Mille Lacs from a smallmouth perspective is not what it was a couple years ago. I mean,
Murphy's
Bill
law.
To get 11, 12-pound bag on 3 fish was very impressive. And then Fisher talked, Hall of Famer from Bearfax and Fishtails, and the next weekend they had a tournament. It wasn't so good. One more quick announcement before we get to the shout-outs. I want to give a huge congratulations. The Bassmaster mm-hmm. High School Championship, National Championship, was down in Tennessee, Strew, man.
Yep.
And there was... I think 100-something teams in there, I believe.
A couple from Minnesota.
There was 8 teams from Minnesota. And one team in particular was from Eagan, Minnesota. I believe their names were Nathan and Brian. We're going to have them as guests on the show here over the next month. They qualified to fish the third day for the top 12 boats because they sliced the boats by day, Strewman. Yeah. They finished third. Across the entire country.
Isn't that
something?
So
congratulations to those two kids and everyone in the Eagan High School Bass Fishing Program. And a big shout out to Dave Shook, who is the Lakeville High School Bass Fishing Coach, works with Alumacraft on the youth programs.
Friend of the show.
He went down there to support those Minnesota teams, even if it wasn't Lakeville down there. So a big shout out to Dave Shook as well.
Go ahead, Mark. What do you got?
Very good. Well, everyone, I wanted to let you know that you can send a shout out if you go to the 4 Outdoorsmen Facebook page. And comment on the shout-out post. There's a great picture of Boomer there and the Fluke Master. We have a couple in. Our good friends Jennifer Zeiss. Looks like they took the family out on Mille Lacs. They said it was like glass. I hope we have weather like that next weekend. And also our good friend Timmy Moore from out east. He says, hey, guys, having fun on Lake Winnipesaukee with Samantha Lewandowski today. So congrats, Tim. And also I'm going to give a shout-out to my son Nick and my son Max, who are both listening on the Big Q today. I love you guys, and be good. If you're not, I'll hear about it when I get home.
Yeah.
Hey, one last shout out. Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund and the Four Outdoorsmen, we've supported that show or that tournament or event that gives back to military veterans for about the last 3 or 4 years. I've been fishing in it since the conception. It's 6 years old. It's a walleye and bass tournament. It's on August 25th and August 26th at Arrowwood Resort in Alexandria, Minnesota. And all the money raised goes back to give military, active and non-active, scholarships that are pursuing a career in law enforcement. It's absolutely amazing, the Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund. And I'm very humbled that Nicole and I are going to have the opportunity to MC that event this year. So August 25th, 26th, Google Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund. It is definitely worth your time, and there is a big payout. And Jason Shoddy, the tournament director, who also runs Major League Series, the bass fishing circuit here in Minnesota, he is going to be co-hosting with us next week, so we'll learn more about it then.
Is he going to be in studio?
I think he's going to make it in studio. Fun.
Hey, I got a shout-out. I got a couple of things to say as well, but I want to give a shout-out to a guy named Ray Hitchcock. Do you know who Ray Hitchcock is?
I don't.
Ray Hitchcock happens to be a realtor in the Twin Cities. I've known him for many, many years. We might have done a transaction over the years. He's been in the business as long as I have, and we're trying to put something together here, and all of a sudden he just texts me and says, by the way, I love listening to your show on Sunday night. Cool. So Ray, I remember this, he's an ex-NFL player for, I think it was the San Francisco 49ers, I believe. 1980s, I'm guessing it's like that. He was a center, and he got a Super Bowl ring. He played, cool. I don't know, maybe half a dozen games his rookie year, blew out his knee, and that was the end of his career. But he had played the NFL and got a Super Bowl ring. And Ray Hitchcock, thanks for supporting the Four Outdoorsmen, my friend.
And I just want to remind our listeners, we do have a new way to connect with us when we're on air. You can always give us a message on Facebook at the Four Outdoorsmen or shout-outs. But text us at 763-450-0100. And let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods, and maybe we'll get back to you and give you a little shout-out on air.
Now, a couple of things. You got something else right now, Mark?
No. I just wanted to – my wife texted me and said the boys heard it, and they're afraid to talk because they think we can hear them through the radio speaker.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, now, Struman had a pretty big week here, yes. And I'll tell you what. Something
what'd you do
happened.
This week, Struman?
Well, I'm a superstar right now. I was on Kurt Wahlbeck is a friend of mine from – he has a show called The Outdoor Bound TV. He's been around for a long
great
time.
Great guy, too.
He's a great guy. He's on Wild TV, ABC, Fox Sports, North, YouTube. He's all over. And I had a chance to go fishing with him in May with Gene Schoenfuss, a friend of mine at the Wisconsin Governor's Open. And his son, Kurt's son, oh, I forget his name. Maybe it's Matt, but his son did the videoing for us. Mm-hmm. And the Outdoor Bound TV show that we were on was just broadcast last couple of days. So I had a chance to see that. It was cool. And Kurt, thanks for letting us be part of the Outdoor Bound TV show, because it was really, really cool. Go ahead, Mark.
Now, I watched it. If all our listeners want to watch it on YouTube, if you go to the Outdoor Bound YouTube page, you can watch Struman and Gene light up some fish on Chitek Chain. So.
And a nice bass. I saw you guys caught a nice
I caught
bass.
The Bob shirt, too.
I caught the Yeah, I wore my Bob shirt and didn't get any kudos from Neil or anybody. So what the heck, that might have been
hey,
not a big deal.
I have 4 hat samples from Blue 42 Agency, the folks that built our website, that we're going to be trying on tonight, guys. And eventually, we're going to have a couple cool 4 Outdoorsmen hats. So probably a couple months away. We have to order them in bulk, but we're going to be trying
Let's
those hats
them.
On.
Can we sell them?
Yeah, there's no
I think we're going to sell them on our website.
No cool. hurry getting those hats. We've only been doing this show for 5 years. So what the hell? There's no hurry. Just take
well,
your time.
Well, you know, we got to take our time.
Take
Good
your time.
Things come with patience,
One more
my
thing.
Friend.
Now, this is pretty cool. My gorgeous wife and Diana and I think she's listening, because Diana listens almost every week. Probably 90% of the time she listens to the show. So, hi, sweetheart. How you doing? But we had a chance to go to Lake Superior, Apostle Islands, with Captain Shelley Holland and her significant other, Scott. Shelley's got a 27-foot boat. Don't know the name of it. Have no idea what kind it is. But we spent the entire day, the day before yesterday, on Lake Superior, Apostle Islands. Her company's called Escape Excursions, and I'm telling you, if you're interested in all, want to have a beautiful day on the water, I went kayaking into the caves with Shelley. Yeah. It was beautiful. It's cool. That was up in Bayfield. Wonderful part of it. So it was
Were
a
you able to kayak with a six-pack, Stru, or did you have a little sniffer?
No, there were. I only had 3 left by the time I got in the kayak, so I was. I had to balance some things out. But Escape Excursions, Captain Shelley Holland, thank you very much for taking Diane and me for the day, and tell you what, the Apostle Islands is It's an amazing part of the world. It's really well worth taking a look at. So,
well, speaking of amazing, we have some amazing guests on the show tonight. First up, after break, another friend of the show, Meadow Cofield. You might know her. She's a big deal in the Rough Grouse Society. Mark can talk a little bit. She's going to be on TV here too soon. I'll let Mark talk about that.
Yep.
But she's up for an international contest called the 2019 Extreme Huntress. So stay tuned for that after break. And then at about 6:40, the 20-year-old phenom out of Pennsylvania, Dylan Nussbaum, he bagged over 55 pounds of walleyes in 2 days on Devil's Lake to win the Cabela's National Walleye Tour. Now, Meadow, she's going to be on TV here, right, buddy?
Yeah, I just saw a note that she's going to be on the Flush on Outdoors channel, which is a show that we produce at Ron Share Productions. And it looks like she took an adventure with Travis last year that's airing this year on Outdoors channel, because we film a year ahead for everything. So it's showing up this week. And so go to theflush.tv and you can see when it's going to play on Outdoors channel. And you can see our friend Meadow and my friend Travis.
All right. Any more shout outs, my friend?
Our friend Corey from What's Working Now posted some pictures, a giant bass and a pike. Go to What's Working Now Facebook page, and he'll tell you what's working now.
That's her name. In another fishing show, he's going to tell you what's working now. Yeah.
Well, I can't believe that summer is almost beyond us, and the end of summer marks the start of fall. And we always get excited about fall because hunting starts, right? Pheasant hunting season is right around the corner. Waterfall season is right around the corner. Grouse hunting, bow hunting. Then we get into rifle. There's so many great things that are coming down the pipeline.
Great golfing weather, you bet.
Fall fishing is going to start picking up with all that being said. But in Minnesota, we have a couple cool things. Game fairs right around the corner.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be the weekend of August 10th and the weekend of August 17th. We'll be trolling around there probably that second weekend. Stop and say hi to us. Tell us some suggestions for the show. But also the great Minnesota State get together, the state fair. And what's going on? I think we're going to be at the Bob Country booth.
We will
right?
be at the Bob Country booth both Sundays of the fair. So the first Sunday is the one
August
26th,
correct.
Yep. Yeah. And then the one after that. So both Sunday nights, we will be on at 6 o'clock live from the fair. Our first guest is going to be from Deadshot Custom Calls.
A new sponsor, right?
Our new sponsor who's starting soon. They made us a four outdoorsman duck call, and they're going to be coming on the first Sunday to do some calls to the crowd and talk about what they have going on. So big shout out to our friends at Deadshot Custom Calls. They're the guys that can do anything with a call, and they've really, he said that since they've started, they've really fine-tuned the call, so they are you know, very useful, and they can make a really cool one. He's sending us a few more ones that I wanted.
Yeah, he said. Right. He said not only do they custom make the calls to fit your needs, whether they're your logo on top of the call or whatever it is, but they can custom make the calls to fit how you want to sound as well. What kind of calls you want to make? I'm looking forward to having these guys as sponsors. They're nice people. And the calls that they gave us were really, really first class.
And those two Sundays at the Four Outdoorsmen are going to be doing live broadcasts at the Minnesota State Fair, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday nights. We'll probably be there a half an hour earlier and a half an hour later. So come talk some hunting and fishing or outdoors with a wild card, myself, Boomer, or producer Mark. But on top of that, from a location standpoint, I think we're right across from the Coliseum, aren't we?
We are. Yes. We're right next to All You Can Drink Milk, I believe, and right across from the Coliseum, kind of on the main drag that goes parallel with Como Avenue. It's the same place that Bob's been the last couple of years. The great thing about the Bob site is they always have live music there. And with the Homegrown Show, they always have live music, a lot of great places to sit down. So come on down and see us at the Minnesota State Fair. I know that we enjoy getting out and actually talking to people and everything like that. So
last year, I remember we were there the first week as well, maybe both weeks. I couldn't be there for the second week, but I remember as I walked up to the stage, Cindy Jo Schlower was there, and with Dirt Road Dixie. So their band is going to be there probably, maybe not, but it's kind of music.
Well, Drew, we got about 1 minute to break. Who do we got coming up next?
We got Meadow. Meadow, how it's Caulfield is what it is, and Meadow is the one of the finalist for the 2019 Extreme Huntress competition. It's going to be one heck of a story. She's got a lot to talk about, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, stay tuned. Listen to Meadow, the 2019 Extreme Huntress final coming up after break.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Join the fun at Minnesota's largest outdoor event of the summer, Game Fair 2018. Game Fair features dozens of hunting, fishing, and dog training seminars. Visit with more than 300 exhibitors and enjoy games for dogs and kids of all ages. Check out the latest, greatest outdoor equipment and be amazed by our shotgun trick shooter show twice daily. Game Fair runs 2 big weekends, rain or shine, August 10th, 11th, and 12th, and August 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Armstrong Ranch. For complete details, visit gamefair.com.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities' premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro. The staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Hi, this is Kyle Barr from Juice Baits. When you're fishing with soft plastics this season, you're going to rock it when you choose Juice Baits. Juice Baits are a less expensive alternative with a huge variety of options, such as craw tubes, creature baits, Sankos, tubes and jig trailers, swim baits and finesse worms, and a wide selection of crappie baits. See the entire selection of Juice Baits at juicebaits.com and like our Facebook page. When you hit the water, throw the juice. Juice Baits, a Minnesota company.
Twice a day on Bob FM, it's Today in Country Music History. Hello, this is Carl Geisler, your host. Join me as I take you on a tour through country music with Today in Country Music History. What happened on this day, where your favorite artists charted their hits, and which of your favorite country singers are celebrating a birthday. Weekdays at 1:25 and 9:25 p.m. brought to you exclusively by Kurt Weers at United Country Pro Realty in Annandale. Online at WeSellFarmsMN.com.
Neil Freeman here for Zero Res. It's the hot and sweaty dog days of summer. And you know what that means? All the sweat, dirt, grime, and germs from the outside are now inside. So now's a great time to have your home clean by Zero Res. And when I say now, I mean now, before the smell, the dust, the dander, the bacteria all get a foothold in your carpet. Yes, bacteria and dust mites live and breed every day inside your home. But again, my carpet cleaning heroes at Zero Res can help. Only Zero Res cleans and sanitizes with patented empowered water, so you know your carpet and home is fresh and clean without soapy, sticky, dirt-attracting residue. And this month, take $50 off when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. So schedule your cleaning today by calling 952-ZERO-RES. Or you can now book online at ZeroResMinnesota.com. That's Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward. It spells the same. And don't forget to tell them Neil sent you from Bob FM.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen, everybody. Stu Man here, Boomer Mark, Lukey, Brandon behind the glass. I'll tell you what, this is going to be a hell of a show tonight because we've got somebody really, really special for our first guest. Meadow, are you there, my friend?
I am here. Can you hear me clearly?
Perfectly, perfectly. And this must be your landline. You sound wonderful. Meadow Kaufeld is from Grand Rapids, Minnesota. She's one of the finalists in the 2019 Extreme Huntress Competition. Not a whole lot of people know what this is all about. It's been going on for, I think this is the 10th year, but I got to tell you this, based on the information you shared with me a couple of days ago, that considering what you went through at the airport, you've got to win this contest.
Yeah.
Tell me, she was at the airport going to California or something, and it was when all those machines broke down, and she was in line with 1,000 people trying to go through all these detecting machines.
Goodness.
So if you can go through that, you can go through anything. How have you been, Meadow?
I'm doing good. I just want to let you guys know that the connection's pretty poor on my end, so I can't hear exactly what you guys are saying sometimes.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
All right, we will speak slowly. We'll try to figure that out, but we can hear you perfectly. And I'll tell you what, Meadow, this has happened a couple of times in the last couple of months before, but on the radio, it sounds perfectly. So we will try to speak as slowly and clearly as possible. Go ahead, Mark. You're going to say something?
Hi, Meadow. It's Mark here. I just wanted to welcome you to the show. We had you on maybe 4 or 5 years ago to talk about grouse. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So a lot has changed since then. And I did also notice, we'll get into the competition soon, but I did notice that you got to meet my friend Travis Frank with The Flush. I work for Ron Share Productions, and we produce The Flush. So Travis is a good friend of mine. Can you tell us a little bit about that episode, where you guys went, and is that playing this week on The Flush?
I believe it began airing a few weeks ago, but I had Travis up at Red Lake WMA last fall, and the intention was to get on as many species as we could, and luckily he had the chance to get on sharp-tailed grouse with one of the folks up there that works at the Red Lake, or used to work at the Red Lake WMA. And then when I got up there, we went for ruff grouse, woodcock, and spruce grouse, and we encountered all three species while we were there. So,
well, that's pretty impressive. You did notice, you did mention that the numbers were down, so to have that much success, that's a good thing. Did you feel a little bit of pressure because the cameras were on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime you have cameras on you, there's definitely pressure. And then we add a dog to the element, you know, it's an extra level of complication. But, you know, we didn't have very high flush rates, but we did manage to scratch out a few birds and get the experience, and that's what counted.
Hey, Meadow, Boomer here. Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. It's been a while since we've had you on. I know a lot is going on for you. For our listeners who didn't get to hear you a few years ago, give them a quick background. Who is Meadow Caulfield?
Well, I'm originally from Northern California, and I am a wildlife biologist. I ended up here in northern Minnesota when I applied for graduate school. It turned out that University of Minnesota Twin Cities ended up having the best opportunity and the chance to work with game birds. And so I ended up moving over here, and I'd only flown through Minneapolis one other time. So I drove here in a single cab to come and pick up with what I could fit in the back and stayed. So here I am.
Now, you've gone through, this is Struman again, thanks again for being on, but you've gone from being a full-time wildlife biologist, I think you worked with the Ruff Grouse Society for quite some time as well. Now you're teaching at a community college, I think, up in Grand Rapids, and one of the reasons for that is so you can spend more time, I believe, developing what you are going through as far as what's involved with Extreme Huntress. Tell us all about Extreme Huntress, what the process is like, and where are you right now in that process?
Well, Extreme Huntress came after I decided to leave the Ruff Grouse Society. One of the main motivations was to be home more often and spend more time with my daughter. She's 5 now. But, you know, I did get this excellent opportunity to participate in Extreme Huntress. It took me a little bit to apply because, you know, you never really are too sure what to associate yourself with, and I'd never really talked to any of the ladies who had participated before, and so what you have is what you get when you see the shows. But I had a few of my peers. I talked to them, applied. I got selected, found out I was selected, and I had started training way back in April when I made the top 20 semifinalists, and that's physically training as well as for shooting and things along those lines. And then when I made the top 4, I really hit the ground running and was preparing all the way up until last week.
Meadow Boomer here. Talk to us about what is the Extreme Huntress organization? Where is it out of? How did you find out about it? What is the history of it?
Well, I actually applied for Extreme Huntress back in 2009 when it first started. It was, you know, nearly 10 years ago, and this is the 10th competition. And back then, it was more of a short essay and a photo, and so there wasn't as much of a competition other than for popularity and popular vote. And so now, you know, over those last 10 years, it's morphed into something more, and that more is, you know, bringing light to women in the outdoors and exposing women in a positive media light as they hunt and are capable and competent. And the thought is that, you know, it helps boost interest on women's side for joining hunting and fishing. And as you guys know, women are the fastest demographic in hunting,
yep.
Growing demographic in hunting. And so it's one of those areas that needs a lot of attention, and women certainly need to see themselves in a positive light in the media when it comes to hunting. And Extreme Huntress, in many ways, touches on that as well as builds character and a platform for women that will ultimately be spokeswomen for women in the outdoors. And so it does a lot of things, but the competition has certainly grown into something very legitimate and meaningful.
Meadow, you mentioned that you were selected to compete. What did it take? How many people were involved? How many people do you know applied to be one of the opportunists? And what was the process like? I know you first had to do a video, which I saw, explaining your philosophies and the reason why you think you would be a good extreme huntress. Then you had to do an essay. But how do they determine who they're going to let compete?
Well, they, you know, like you said, they kind of had like a job application period. So you had basically a resume for your hunting and outdoor experience put together, as well as a short essay and then a video essay or vlog on why you should be the next extreme huntress or why you're qualified. And so, like you mentioned, that's kind of where that side of things went. And then, there's a certain percentage of the judges' perception and their scoring. There's a certain percentage of the popular vote when it comes to being selected in the top four. And I finished first in the judges' selection for criteria in regards to, you know, being qualified. And then I was second in the popular vote. So I had a seat when I moved in there, and I was very pleased and very happy to have had that opportunity. And certainly was no guarantee. I worked hard for those popular votes, but very, very happy to have made it.
When I did a promo for the show tonight, I talked about that even though you're considered to be one of the final four, I believe, in the Extreme Huntress competition for 2019, it doesn't mean they threw you in the woods with a machete and a bow and arrow or something like that. Tell us some of the physical things that you have to do when you're going through your competitions.
Well, you know, they have a lot of challenges, and so they pit the ladies up against themselves or each other, and that requires that they show a certain level of skill and ability under pressure. And so the key there is under pressure. And so Certainly a lot of us are capable of things like long distance shots, et cetera, while we have an opportunity to sit and think about it. But when you add time and a camera and potentially people putting pressure on you, it really adds a lot of stress to it. And, you know, I had prepared for everything, and the competition ended up being focused on particular areas in regards to hunting and those skills. And, you know, it really was a challenge, but I will say, without giving away too much, all four of us ended up with an education on precision and snap shooting. So it was pretty incredible. I mean, I really would like to say more, but I can't say too much. But we really had an amazing opportunity, an amazing time, and all of us learned a lot about ourselves, as well as, you know, building our skill set, and then also just how to deal with pressure and knowing ourselves under pressure in the case of, you know, dealing with anti-hunters, or being able to speak on our feet or act on our feet when it comes to being in those public situations.
We are talking with Meadow Caulfield, and she's one of the finalists of the Extreme Huntress for 2019. And I know here's what's going on. Now, you guys are done with your competition, correct?
Yes, we finished. Right. I got home last night.
Well, welcome back. I'm glad you made it. Anyway, so here's what goes on, I believe, is that the competition is done, but then they're going to start, I believe, showing videos of some of the things you ladies went through beginning October 1st, I believe. And anybody can go to extremehuntress.com, and you can share where else we can watch that. And then on November 15th, the public has the opportunity, I think, to vote again for who should be the Extreme Huntress. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, so the skills portion costs about 20% of the competition. Then the hunting, you know, 60-70, and then another 10% or so for the popular vote. And so, yeah, there's certainly a voting period in that series of films, you know, 15 to 16 films or so. They'll be about 22 to 25 minutes long. And they should be really good. We got a sneak peek at the first episode last night we were there. And, man, I was really impressed. And it was touching. Some of it was pretty touching. So I think that's going to be a very entertaining as well as influential set of films that they're putting out this year.
You know, Meadow, looking at the website for extremehuntress.com, it looks like there's three judges there, two being women, one being men. Olivia Nalis Opry, Larry Weishun, and Christy Titus. I think I've heard of Christy before. My first question is, did you know of these judges or have any history with them? And then my second question is, this is an international competition. When you look back, when they list out the past winners, they come from Wyoming, Montana, but from Sweden and British Columbia. What's it like participating with people from different countries?
Well, Christy Titus didn't participate as a judge, but we did have Olivia Nalis Opry and Larry Wisehoon, and both of those people, you know, I had never met them before, and you only know them on TV or through their media presence, and both of them turned out to be very high-quality, spectacular people. I really enjoyed spending time with them, and they were really good people. And in regards to the other contestants, we had a lady from Sweden and a lady from Slovakia, and then, of course, two of us from the States. And both of those ladies were very talented in their own right and a pleasure to be around. I especially enjoyed my time with the lady from Sweden, Ulrika Karlsson-Arne, and she was just an incredible person and a delight to be around. And all of those ladies, I, you know, had so much in common with them, and which is rare, and I really enjoyed spending my time with them. You know, there was a language barrier for those ladies, and it was difficult for them to express in an eloquent manner how they felt or what they learned or what they were trying to discuss. And so, you know, they were at a little bit of a disadvantage, but for the most part, those ladies spoke excellent English. They were a lot of fun to be around, and it was really neat to be able to talk to them in person about, you know, the kind of the hunting models and the wildlife management models there in Europe and their respective countries.
Hey, Meadow, I looked at the videos of the top four or five ladies there, and Ulrika Karlsson from Sweden, she's the real deal. She's the real deal. I can see how you would build a relationship with her because she knows what's going on.
Yeah, and she, you know, she was the oldest out of us. She was 45. I'm 34, going on 35 here on Tuesday, and then the others were 26. And so both Ulrika and I were kind of the older ladies, and we got along really well. We had a certain level of maturity, and Ulrika's got a very interesting life history, and she was involved in Swedish television for a long time, and she certainly is. She's quite the character, and she is the real deal. I really loved her. She's a great person.
Good.
So, Meadow, when we talked to you 5 years ago, I know you were doing a lot of work with the Ruffed Grouse Society. You now teach at the Grand Rapids, I think it's Itasca Community College, so you can spend more time with your five-year-old daughter. Results aren't in. You can't talk about it with this competition, with the Extreme Huntress competition that you're in. What's next for Meadow Caulfield?
Well, the semester starts in another 2 weeks. But you know, really, the competition hasn't ended yet. We don't know who's on top, or we don't know the scores. We have a general feeling. But really, the four ladies are so close, and we all had our strengths. There was nobody that truly dominated. And the competition, it's still in the air. And so in the next couple months, I'll certainly be campaigning and continue to do what I've always done, and probably expand more on producing educational films or a little bit of media here and there on Facebook, and putting out more articles to kind of help people get involved. And then the other thing is I've, you know, recertified for firearm safety instructor and took the Pheasants Forever mentoring training, which was, you know, it was more, obviously I have a lot of experience with the R3 side of things, but it was interesting to be able to spend some time and take their training and dedicate, you know, some time this fall to taking a few new hunters out.
Well, Meadow, we'll have to have you on when the voting comes to public and put the power of outdoors radio on Sunday nights and Bob Country behind you. And one question is, what happens if you win this whole shebang? What happens then? Do you get a big pile of cash?
Nope, there is no cash prize. You know, a lot of people wonder, what the heck are you doing? But, you know, we get a beautiful bronze trophy and a title, and really, you know, it is what it is. You make
right.
your fortune once you are the Extreme Huntress. And so the thought is that you use that platform to continue to build the message and expose women in the media as, you know, capable, competent women, and hopefully continue to chip away at recruiting women into hunting and hopefully secure the future of hunting here in North America and around the world.
I tell you what, Meadow, because this costs money to get into this competition. You got to travel back and forth and do things. I know you had some kind of a Facebook page asking for people to donate if they wanted to help you out. You do this because you care. You do this because you care. That's all there is to it. And I remember reading someplace where you said what you're doing is working toward recruitment and retention of women in the outdoors and draw them in with passion. We got about 45 seconds. Expand on that a little bit.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I'm pretty passionate about, and hunting and fishing brings me so much joy, and it means so much to me that this has become an exceptionally big part of my life. And so being able to participate in Extreme Huntress despite not having a salary this summer was really important. And, you know, I was humbled by all of the support that I received, and I was able to pull it off, and I can't tell you enough how important the outdoor community is especially here in Minnesota, and I really just want to send a big thanks out to everybody that helped.
Thanks very much for being on the 4 Outdoorsmen. We will support you. You support us. Next time you come into the Twin Cities and you got some time, if it's a Sunday night, we want to have you in studio and talk all about the hunting and fishing stories that you can come up with as well. All right, young lady?
Yep.
Take care, Meadow. Good luck. It's Extreme Huntress Competition, Meadow Cowfowl 2019 champ. You watch. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsmen.
Meadow.
Yeah, we'll be right back after this break.
Dylan, a 20-year-old phenom.
You're listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen, part of Bob Outdoors.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there is no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities' premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I'll tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro, and the staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Hi, this is Tyler Barr from Juice Baits. Juice Baits is a Minnesota company based out of Brainerd. Juice Baits are tried, true, and tested by me and my brother Kyle, who are both high school fishing state champions. And we know a good bait, so we came up with Juice Baits. Buy the whole line of soft plastics infused with the juice and get ready for boatloads of fish this season. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and see the whole Juice Baits story on the web at juicebaits.com.
Into the fourth quarter, like we sometimes say here at the 4 Outdoorsmen.
No, we never say that. I've never heard you say that.
Well, thank you for busting like my chops, Stu, man, on air. But Boomer here with the 4 Outdoorsmen. Producer Mark to my left, Stu to the right. Thank you to our 10,000 fans of the lakes of the state of Minnesota for tuning in. Bob Country this Saturday at 6 a.m. You can also text us while we're on air at 763-450-0100. I know our man, the myth, the legend, Brandon, is behind the scenes there replying to people. But with that being said, we have a special guest. The 4 Outdoorsmen is reaching all the way out to St. Mary, Pennsylvania, to a 20-year-old walleye phenom, Dylan Nussbaum. Dylan, welcome to the 4 Outdoorsmen.
Hey, how's it going?
It's doing good, buddy. Where are you at right now, my friend?
I'm actually putting on a roof right now, but took a little bit of time to do this interview.
I love it. Well, Dylan, thanks for joining us on the 4 Outdoorsmen. Dylan, I'm going to give a little teaser. You just finished a big tournament, the Cabela's National Walleye Tour, where you took first place. I think it was a prize valued at over $63,000, where you brought in a two-day bag, 55 pounds worth of walleyes, which is absolutely amazing.
I mean, what it does, it pisses me off, Dylan.
Because Wild Card can't catch a walleye over 12 inches.
Pisses me off.
We'll get to that. But Dylan, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, and then we'll start to get into your tournament and fishing life.
Well, I quit my job to do this full time this year, fish these big tournaments, and I got to say I'm loving it so far, but I'm hoping to kind of make this into a career and hope to do it for a long time.
Well, Dylan, I know you're 20 years old. You're very young in your career, jumping in with both feet to do this full time. With that being said, Dylan, Pennsylvania, I don't think of walleye fishing, and ignorantly for me, when I think of Pennsylvania and walleye fishing as a marriage. Do you fish a lot of walleyes in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, actually, we do a lot of walleye fishing here in Pennsylvania. We got a local reservoir here that we got a lot of circuits on, and we fish a lot of tournaments there, and we go to Lake Erie a lot. And, I mean, Lake Erie, can't get much better than Lake Erie. There's so many fish in there, it's not funny.
Yeah.
So Lake Erie, that's the big green ones, right? We always see some monster fish.
Winnipeg.
Oh, is that Winnipeg?
Winnipeg is the Greenbacks.
Well, I remember seeing big pictures from Lake Erie. Yes. Something about that body of water where they just grow to be monsters. Is that where you go to get the biggest fish you can?
You can't really get a much bigger Lake Erie. Lake Erie is a pretty awesome place. I mean, you can go out there and catch 100 walleyes a day if you really wanted to. And you can go out and catch some giants. You can get some 10, 12 pounders out there also. So, I mean, it's really fun out there.
Hey, Dylan Strewman here. I read your whole bio, and Boomer, the reason you're on the show is because Devil's Lake Tourism is one of our premier sponsors for the Four Outdoorsmen. We're very blessed to have them on our side. Boomer's the fishing guru. He's the one, along with Tanner from Devil's Lake Tourism, who told us all about what's happening out there. You went to Devil's Lake never having been in the state of North Dakota. You, of course, that means you've never even seen Devil's Lake. And you outfished 113 different contestants who've been around a long, long time. What were your expectations when you got to Devil's Lake?
When I got to Devil's Lake, I realized it's a very big lake. It wasn't bigger than I was expecting it to be. And I kind of started looking over my maps and stuff like that and just kind of started breaking it down into smaller lakes and kind of going over with the chips and stuff like that, picking up places I wanted to fish for that day. And I mean, I didn't want to bite off more than I could chew because that lake's huge. So you got to kind of break it up in sections and go out and just fish in little sections. Don't try to fish a whole lake in one day.
You know, Dylan, you're breaking up a little bit, so if you're on top of a roof, just try to stay stationary with your phone a little bit.
Lift one leg in the air.
Yeah, the Karate Kid, right? But stay still if you can, buddy. So you go into Devil's Lake, a little background to that. This was your third stop, I believe, and it's your third national tournament. You go out there, and I read your background. Now, you were humble and modest when you said you were out there with the chip pre-fishing, but pre-fishing, you noticed something where the fish were hanging out a little deeper. Can you expand upon that?
Yeah, I mean the lake's not very deep to begin with when you're up in like Ellicott and stuff like that. And when I went down to East Devil's Lake, I started grappling some of the breaks and stuff like that, and realized the fish just seemed to be out a little bit deeper. And I think them fish are out deeper just because that seemed where. I assume where a lot of the perch were, and it was just a very rocky structure down there. So I think that's why them fish were down that deep.
Well, Dylan, you came in the first day with a bag of 25 pounds, which wasn't quite first place. I think it was Jared Fredericks from South Dakota who had the lead. And 25 pounds is an absolutely amazing bag. I mean, that's a 5-pound average for walleyes. And you shifted it up a little bit, right, going into day two, because you knew you needed a really big bag to take first place in this tournament. Talk about your approach and what you did on day two to get a bag of 30 pounds.
Well, day two, I really just went out, and I was trying to just get the same weight I brought in the first day, because at a lot of tournaments, that's usually what it takes to take over the lead when you have a decent bag. And when I got out there, I mean, I started out and I had my five fish in the morning after my fourth pass, and I had right around 20, 22 pounds, and I just didn't think that was enough. And we both kind of just moved in, and I told my co-angler, we're going to get out of here and go try a different spot. And I'm really glad I did that, because as soon as I started pulling, I got one that was a little over 30 inches.
And wow.
Well, we got that one on. We had another one dragging on there that was a little over 4 pounds.
That's fantastic. You know, we've spent a lot of time fishing that lake, and that's really impressive. You said that the fish were down deep. Now, what did you do? Did you do something special to get down there to get those big boys?
Yeah, I was running the 832 Suffolk Sled Core in 12-pound with 8-foot leaders and using deep diving lures, deep diving husky jerks and flicker minnows, trying to just get the best way to get down there quick and deep. So just put on the big lures and kind of ran with it. And I mean, I still had a lot of line out, but it really helped out a lot using 12-pound and that lead core.
You know, Dylan, one question I have just about the Cabela's NWT with the co-anglers. How does it work when you're trolling cranks? How do you know which rod is whose when the fish hits?
Well, I mean, I kind of just tell the co-angler to get the rods down there, and then I'll ask them if they're comfortable with reeling them in. Then I will let them reel in, but if I'm not comfortable with reeling them some bigger fish in, then I'll just take the rods and I'll reel them in and they'll net.
So, Dylan, let me ask you about the emotion or what was going through your mind. So you switched spots on day two. You said you had 22-ish pounds or whatnot, and you knew you needed some kicker walleyes. So you go out deep, and you talk about the first one was over 30 inches. And we both know that Devil's Lake is a pretty clear lake, and you can probably see about 8 to 9 feet down the size of that walleye. What was going through your mind when you hooked into that 30-inch walleye?
Well, I'll be honest with you here. I actually seen it ripping over the back of the boat, and it was ripping a ton of drag out. And as you know, there's a lot of pike out in that lake, and I was catching a bunch of them, and I ended up grabbing the rod and just kind of cranking it right in, and it kept ripping drag back out. And there was a bunch of algae right on top of the water where we were, and you couldn't see down even a couple inches. And when we got it up to the side of the boat, I told the co-angler to get the net ready just in case, see what it is, and it ended up coming up, and it was over 30 inches, and at that point, I couldn't put lures on. I couldn't do anything because I was shaking so bad. I was just so excited.
Did you know then at that time, Dylan, when you brought in that 30-inch or 30-plus-inch walleye that you're probably in the running for first place? Did that cross the back of your mind?
That did. After we caught them two fish, I was so excited because I knew I was going to be real close, somewhere in the top three at least. But I knew at that point we had a chance at winning that.
So what is it like going to the bank and depositing a $60,000 check? Yeah. Does it feel good?
Holy man, I can't even tell you. It's just so exciting. So awesome.
Hey, I'll tell you, that being said, Dylan, you're 20 years old, all right, and you're making a living roofing and doing some welding and some other things, and then you want to do this full-time, obviously. When I was 20 years old, I was probably collecting unemployment and drinking Buckhorn beer, you know, so I was not too many people your age had the aspirations that you have. That being said, is somebody helping you get to the next level, not professionally, but business-wise, because you're 20 years old, and what do you think it's going to take on an annual basis? What do you need to live on to make this a successful career for you financially? What is your goal financially, annually, as a professional fisherman?
Well, my goal is to actually just to get by and make a living doing this. And for anyone wondering, I mean, you just gotta kind of put your mind to something. And you just got to go out and do it.
I respect that because too many people don't have the balls to do it, and they don't want to jump off the ledge with no parachute. But either you do it like that or you're never going to do it. And I'll tell you what, so far you were on – this was only your third professional fishing tournament, correct?
Yep.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So now, you beat up You beat up the big boys. Do you think there was any animosity from some of the really experienced tournament fishermen?
Actually, a lot of them came up to me. I mean, it was really awesome at the end of the tournament. A lot of them came up to me and congratulated me and talked to me, and that was just awesome to me. I watch all these guys in videos on how to fish and watch them on TV, and It was really cool.
That's cool.
So, Dylan, a couple questions. When they came up to talk to you, when you were on stage and said how you did it, were a lot of people scratching their head like, is that really what you did?
I think so, actually. I mean, a lot of people do look past that deeper water, and that's kind of something I like because, I mean, it seems like you can always find a deep water bite somewhere. I mean, you really got to watch the time of the year, but I think you can always find, there's always a deep water bite somewhere.
So, Dylan, after you took this trophy, which is a game changer for your career, did your phone start ringing for sponsorships?
I mean, sponsors have been definitely calling me, but it's not as crazy as I thought it would be for the sponsorship side. Now, I've had tons and tons of friends and family, and it's been really cool having all them people contact me and talk to me about it. It's been really nice.
Let's see. What was I going to ask? Somebody else talk. I had something. Go ahead. Go ahead. Someone say
something.
All right,
Dylan. So you got home to Pennsylvania. When's the next tournament for you?
We actually have my dad and I have one up on Lake Erie in a couple weeks here. And then I got to take some kids out to a tournament next weekend. There's a kids tournament going on. So I'll be taking a few kids out and having some fun with that.
Right now, Cena, you mentioned something that brought this back. I'm 67 years old, young man, so I forget a lot of things. You dreamed about this since you were about 8 or 10 years old. So tell us about your growing up in Pennsylvania. Who was your mentor? Who got you into this game? Was it your dad?
Yes. I mean, we started out fishing a creek for Pennsylvania, and then we kind of actually got a whooping put on us, and that's actually what drove us to want to do Boulder. That's how we learned to catch walleyes. We seen what these guys were doing, started watching videos, reading books, kind of went from there, and it kind of really took off. We started going to NPCs and stuff like that, and I mean, we got a top 25 twice, and we got fourth place in La Crosse, Wisconsin here at the last NTC. So
good for you.
I mean, my dad, he's definitely the one who got me into this.
Well, Dylan, thank you so much for joining us on the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country and the Big Q Radio. We appreciate your time, and good luck in your next tournament, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
be safe.
Buddy.
You be safe, young man. I'll tell you what.
Wow, cool.
That's too bad. I don't know what. Maybe it was Pennsylvania. Maybe it was on the roof. Maybe who knows what it was. But it's a fun convert. 20 years old, his third tournament. He wins $63,000. Against 113 other competitors,
and
that is a story.
It's true, and those other competitors were names that you see on TV. You know, from the Next Bite TV, they were out there. Johnny Candle, other guides on Devil's Lake.
Was Mark Fisher out there?
I did not see Mark Fisher fishing walleyes on Devil's Lake. But with that being said, it's absolutely cool to see a 20-year-old come in on a 100-plus boat field and take first place. I think it's going to do a lot for the sport of walleye fishing.
Do you think that 12-pound Suffolk Leadcore sold out at the Devil's Lake bait store that week?
Well, there's only about 20 bait stores in Devil's Lake, but I'm sure they went through there. But can you imagine if you were in the crowd and this 20-year-old walks up, and I was talking to Tanner, and his approach was much different. I mean, he was running. There's names for them. There's Husky Jerks and, you know, Flicker Shads. But he was running a deep water crankbait with over 200 feet of line in an area where other people just weren't fishing, right? We were pitching swim jigs and swim baits all against the shorelines. Tanner and I snuck a little deeper when we were filming for Midwest Outdoors TV. That worked. But he was out in no man's land. And you think if they're looking back going, I wonder what that kid is doing. And then he comes in on stage with a 30-pound bag.
Yeah. Leadcore is something I've never really tried. Have you gotten into that?
Yeah, I've done it a little bit. You know, with leadcore, you know, obviously there's lead. It's a heavier line. But most of the time I'm fishing with you guys or other people. And when you got three or four people in your boat and you got four lines with 200 feet of line, that can get a little crazy. You really got to spider web it, you know, longer lines out front, shorter lines out front in the back. And so it is a very effective way. There's also crankbaits now that are designed. I know some of the bigger companies out there have them where you can use like a fluoro or a braid or a mono.
Get down
and
that
they
far.
Can get down that far. But leadcore is the more preferred option.
You know, what's cool about this kid, you know, you don't know what you don't know. When you're 20 years old, you have no fear. There's nothing to tie you down. You're going to, like I said, jump off the ledge without a parachute and build it on the way down. And you learn as you go along. And all of a sudden, if it's meant to be, a lot of the guys who are successful in this industry, as well as a lot of industries, just gave it a shot. Because if all of us in your 25, 30 years old got two or three kids and it's been a dream of yours for life, it's got to take the back burner because you got to pay the bills. This kid, I have all the respect in the world for him, and I'm pulling for him.
Yeah, I'm pulling for him too. Great thing. Well, we had a great show. We had Meadow Caulfield. She was the competitor. She's in the 2019 Extreme Huntress. She's in the Final Four. The 20-year-old walleye phenom, Dylan Nussbaum, who just cashed $68,000 at the Cabela's NWT.
And we had Strewman, who was on the Outdoor Bound TV show.
We did. And producer Mark was painting his house this week. We will be at Izades Resort this Thursday and Friday. Come out and say hi, and don't forget to get outdoors.
Bob Outdoors continues with Hall of Fame